you see anyone up there on the cliff?
Yes, Your Highness. I would say there are about 15 or 20 soldiers.
Are we ready to step out and reveal ourselves?
I am, Your Highness, but I wish you were. It could easily mean your death.
This mission might mean death for both of us.
Yes, sir. But, Your Highness, you are the Crown Prince. I am but a humble armor-bearer who has...
If you're ready, here we go.
As you say, sir. They see us, Your Highness. And are they surprised?
One of them, looks like a captain, is coming close to the edge of the cliff, undoubtedly to call down to us.
Hey! You Israelites down there, what are you doing? Spying? Well, come on up here and we'll show you around. Show you how really strong we are.
We'll be right up.
They think to kill us, probably.
Have no fear. Just follow me. For the Lord shall deliver them this day into the hands of the Israelites.
And I, for one, am really anxious to hear today's story.
Well, thank you, Aunt Sue. And hello there, everyone.
Hi there, boys and girls. Uncle Dan, I didn't realize that King Saul had a son.
Well, he did, Aunt Sue. And Jonathan plays an important part in the next few Bible stories.
Well, today's story can be found in the first book of Samuel, chapters 14, 15, and 16.
I call the story...
The Crown Prince on a Secret Mission.
And Jonathan and his armor-bearer climbed up the steep cliff on their hands and feet.
There are only a handful of Philistine sentinels in sight. Do you think we can take them before they take us?
They won't be expecting us to fight them, just the two of us.
When we get to the top, we'll rush them. The Lord may deliver the entire garrison into our hands. Here we are. Are you ready?
Yes, Your Highness.
Forward to the fray! And the Lord God be with us.
General, what is that I hear?
Sounds like a battle, Your Majesty.
Well, look out the tent flap and see what it is.
Yes, Your Majesty. It is an attack, Your Majesty.
Attack? Who's attacking us?
Looks like the Israelites, Your Majesty.
Can't be. How did they get across the deep gorge without us knowing it?
I don't know how, Your Majesty, but they did. And they're slaughtering our soldiers by the scores.
Where's my armor-bearer and my suit of armor? Lackey, bring me my armor and get my bearer on the double. And you, General, call the men into battle formation immediately.
Yes, Your Majesty.
How did the Israelites get across the gorge without being seen by my sentinels? They must have...
Here's your suit of armor, sire.
Well, put it on me. There's a battle to be fought.
Yes, sire.
What's that?
The earth is trembling, sire.
Trembling? The earth?
With the might and multitude of Israelites, sire.
It's just an earthquake, probably.
No, sire. The Israelites are as the sands of the sea. Their movements to slaughter us make the earth tremble. I tremble too, sire.
Well, come on, come on. Get this suit of armor on me.
And there was panic in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked, and it became a very great panic. Across the gorge, in the Israelite camp, the sounds of the battle were heard by King Saul and his general.
Abner, what's that noise? Sounds like a battle.
Yes, Your Majesty. And it's coming from the Philistine camp across the gorge.
Have you sent any of our men over there to spy or start a battle?
No, Your Majesty.
Well, someone started a battle with the Philistines. Let's go outside and see what's happening.
Yes, sire.
They're fighting all right, but why and who?
I'll find out, sire. Lookout should know. Guard! Come here a moment.
Yes, yes, they should know.
Long live the king! Long live the king!
His Majesty would like to know what's going on over there in the Philistine camp.
Well, sir, it was rather a strange thing. Suddenly they started to fight. Then there was a rumbling like an earthquake. That must have confused the Philistines, because they began to fight and kill one another.
But how did the fight start in the first place?
Well, Your Majesty, I'm not quite sure, but I think a couple of our men sneaked into their camp and that started it.
Two soldiers? Which two?
I'm not sure, Your Majesty. I'm not even sure they were Israelites.
General, take a roll call immediately. We'll discover who dares go over there without my permission.
Yes, sire.
Thank you.
Your Majesty, I...
Well, who is missing?
Well, I'd rather not say, sir.
Who is it? I command you.
Two men are missing, sire. Your son, Prince Jonathan, and his armor-bearer.
Jonathan is just the kind who would do such a thing, all right.
It was a brave and courageous thing, Your Majesty.
Abner, gather our forces of 600 men together immediately. We will join Jonathan and overcome the Philistines this day.
Then Saul and all the people who were with him rallied and went into the battle. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hid themselves in the hill country, they too followed them in the battle. So the Lord delivered them that day. Then did Saul launch a great campaign against his enemies on every side. Wherever he turned, the Bible says, he put them to the worse. Now among the enemies of Israel were the Amalekites, who lived in the desert country and mountains of Ephraim. These people, known for their wicked, cowardly acts and their defiance of God, had first attacked the Israelites many years before as they came on their way out of the land of Egypt. Now Samuel said unto Saul,
Hearken to the words of the Lord, for thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy them and all that they have. Do not spare!
For 400 years, after telling Moses that these people must be destroyed, the Lord had mercifully given the Amalekites opportunity after opportunity to turn from their evil ways. Now the time had come for the sentence so long delayed to be executed. So Saul summoned the people and numbered them. 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek. And Saul waged a great battle against the Amalekites and defeated them. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people. But Saul and his men spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and did not utterly destroy them. And the word of the Lord came to Samuel.
I repent that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments.
The prophet was deeply grieved when he heard the words of the Lord, for Samuel loved Saul as his own son. And Samuel wept and prayed all night that the Lord would change his thoughts toward Saul. With aching heart, the aged prophet set out the next morning to find the erring king. When at last he came to Gilgal, Saul came out to meet him.
Good morning, Samuel. Blessed be you of the Lord. I am glad you came, sir. I wanted to tell you that I have performed the commandment of God concerning the Amalekites.
If this be so, why is it that I hear the bleating of sheep and the lowing of oxen?
Those were brought home from the war with the Amalekites. My people spared the best sheep and oxen for a sacrifice unto the Lord. But the rest we utterly destroyed, as the Lord God told us to.
The Lord ordered you to destroy everything of the Amalekites.
Well, we saved only the best, and they are for sacrifices unto God. Surely he doesn't object.
Stop! I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night.
Say on.
When you were but a young man, you were humble and little in your own sight, and the Lord made you head of the tribes and king of Israel. But you have changed. The Lord sent you on a mission, saying, Saul, utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?
But Samuel, I have obeyed God. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, they took of the spoil the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal.
Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying his voice? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken unto the voice of God is better than the offering of rams.
But, sir, the people...
Rebellion is as sinful as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as the sin of idolatry. Because you have disobeyed and rejected the word of God, he has also rejected you from being king.
I have sinned and transgressed the commandment of the Lord. I have also disobeyed you, Samuel. But it was because I feared the people and did as they demanded. Now, therefore, Samuel, prophet of God, I beg you to pardon my sin and help me that I may again worship the Lord.
I cannot help you, Saul, because you have rejected the word of God, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. I'm sorry, Saul, but it is too late. You took hold of my mantle and ripped it.
I'm sorry, sir, but I did not wish you to leave me.
As surely as you have rent my mantle, so surely shall God rend the kingdom of Israel from you and give it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you.
I have sinned, Samuel. Yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God.
So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Saul was more concerned about Samuel turning against him than he was about displeasing God. He feared an immediate revolt of the people should the prophet utterly forsake him. After the worship service, an act of justice, stern and terrible, was yet to be performed. Above all those who had fallen by the sword in the battle, Agag was the most guilty and merciless, one who had hated and tried to destroy the people of God.
Saul, bring to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites.
Yes, sir. God, bring the Amalekite king here.
What are you going to do with me?
Samuel the prophet wishes to see you.
Agag stepped forward before the prophet, flattering himself that the danger of death was past.
Here you are, your grace.
Greetings, your honor. The bitterness of death is past.
Agag, king of the Amalekites.
Yes, sire?
I am Samuel, prophet of the living God. According to the civil code as given by God to Moses at Mount Sinai, you are guilty and must die. As your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women.
And Samuel executed Agag before the Lord. Then did Samuel and King Saul each return to his own home. Only once did the prophet and the king ever meet each other again. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul because he continued to sin against the Lord, and that his kingdom must in time be taken away from him.
The second half of our story is about one of the last important acts in the life of the prophet Samuel. I call this story
Samuel and the Shepherd Boy.
And Samuel mourned for Saul because he continued to sin against the Lord, and for knowing that his kingdom must in time be taken away from him.
Samuel!
Yes, Lord?
How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?
O Lord, Saul was such a great young man. A man among men. The people looked to him for guidance and protection. He was loved by them and respected by other nations. I realize, O Lord, that Saul has sinned and that he has departed from obeying thy voice and worshiping thee. But, O Lord,
If it be possible, let him remain as king.
Samuel, fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons.
O Lord God of Israel, how can I go and anoint another king? For if Saul hear of it, he will surely kill me.
Take a heifer with you and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord.
As thou sayest, O Lord.
And call Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice, and I will show you what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint for me him whom I name to you.
So shall it be, O Lord, God of Israel.
You say Samuel is coming here to Bethlehem?
That's what a runner just told me. He's already at the gate inquiring about us.
Samuel is old, does not travel about very much anymore. Must be something quite important to come here just to see us.
The runner said he leads a heifer, and that he summons us as elders to the high place for a sacrifice to the Lord.
But coming unannounced like this must mean that something of importance has happened. Is there anything we have done or have not done that might incur Samuel's displeasure?
I hope not. I can't think of anything. Can you?
No.
But the strangest thing of all is that Samuel requested Jesse to be present at the high place feast.
Jesse's not an elder of the city.
That's what makes it so odd. Something unusual has happened, or is about to happen.
Well, did you send for Jesse?
Immediately.
Well, come along, fellow elders. We may as well go to the high place and face whatever it is that we must face.
Come along. I'll go with you. Come along.
Well, if it isn't Jesse, how are you, sir?
Oh, fine, thank you. And how is the chief elder?
Oh, as well as could be expected under the circumstances. We were wondering what this is all about, you being called to this ceremony and feast. Did Samuel tell you why he asked you to come here?
No, sir. I was wondering about the same thing.
I see that seven of your sons are with you.
Yes, sir. Samuel sent word that they too were to come.
Oh, well, that is odd.
Here comes Samuel now.
Oh, yes, here he is. Welcome,
sir. I bring you greetings, brethren.
Greetings to you, Samuel.
Elders.
Good to see you.
A pleasant day to you, sir.
Thank you.
And to you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, yes, you're Jesse, aren't you?
Greetings, your grace.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
We're all very glad to see you.
In the Lord put I my trust, I'll say ye to my soul. Flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow.
David, run for your life. Huh? A lion just caught one of the lambs.
Run? No. I'll rescue the sheep from the lion.
But how can you rescue a lamb from the jaws of a lion?
I'll take my slingshot and a few of these stones and go after him. Now you stay right where you are.
Oh, God, help David. Don't let him be killed by that lion. Oh, the lion is going toward the opening of that cave over there. David's running as he whirls that sling around his head and he slings it. He got him! David, be careful, he's only wounded. Oh, he grabbed the lion by the beard and he's killed the lion and rescued the lamb. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Someone's coming, David.
David.
Huh?
I finally found you.
Oh, you were looking for me?
Yes. Samuel wants you at the high place right away.
Samuel wants me? At the high place?
They're having a sacrifice and feast. Samuel came unexpected. We went through all the ceremony and got ready to sit down to the feast. Before we sat down, though, Samuel had your brothers, one at a time, pass before him. Each time, he said, "This is not the one." When all seven of your brothers had gone through this ordeal, Samuel wanted to know if there were any more brothers. Your father naturally told Samuel about you, and Samuel ordered you brought before him at once. He wouldn't permit the feast to start until you had appeared before him.
I wonder what he wants.
I'll look after the flock for you, David.
All right, lad. I'll be back as soon as possible.
Samuel, sir, this is my youngest son, David.
A ruddy complexion and goodly to look upon.
Arise, anoint him, for this is he.
Yes, Lord.
And Samuel anointed David.
David, my son. The Lord has chosen you as his instrument to bring the people back to the worship of the true God. You are to be Israel's next king.
But Samuel, sir, I can't be king. I know nothing of ruling people. I'm just a shepherd.
You rule well your own life. Control your temper, obey God and love him. Those qualities are the greatest of all kingly qualities. As for you knowing nothing about the ways of a king, the Lord God who has chosen you will prepare you for that high position in his own good time and way.
Well, I still don't understand why God has chosen me. There are many more capable and qualified men in Israel than I.
When God chose Saul to be king, he chose a man after the people's own heart. But God has chosen you, David, my son, because you have a heart after God's own heart. Oh, you're not faultless. You will make mistakes. Yet you will confess your sins and take correction and chastisement with grace and the determination to do better. God can guide you and help you, develop you into a great king. Something he could not do for Saul because he rejected the counsel and the commandments of God.
But Samuel, sir, I'm not nearly old enough to be king.
The Lord will make you king in his own good time. Until that time comes, continue with your humble duties as a shepherd. Even as did Moses.
Yes, sir. Well, how did you get along when I was gone?
Fine. Nothing at all happened. How'd you get along?
Oh, all right, I guess.
Anything unusual happen?
Oh, a little. I was allowed to go to the ceremonial feast.
And eat with Samuel and the elders and all the other important people?
They were all there.
My, but you're getting up in the world.
Not really. I'm still just a shepherd taking care of my father's flocks.
And from that day forward, the Spirit of God came upon David. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit troubled him.
Majesty, is there anything I can do?
No, go on. Get away. Leave me alone.
Perhaps I should call your physician.
No, leave me alone. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir, but there's something wrong with you. You need the care of a physician.
I need nothing of the sort. Samuel, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
What seems to have happened to him, Your Majesty?
Happened to him? Oh, you should have heard him. He said that I would lose the kingdom to a better man than I am. Now look at me. Is there a taller, stronger, or better man than I am in all of Israel?
No, Your Majesty, there is not.
You see what I mean? Samuel has lost his reasoning. Perhaps I should... Yes. Yes, I will.
I shall get your physician immediately, Your Majesty.
No. There is nothing wrong with me that the end of Samuel won't cure.
The end of Samuel, Your Majesty?
That's what I said.
Samuel is a prophet of God, sire.
He was, you mean. Now he is nothing. He's bent on taking my kingdom away from me, but I won't let him. I'll put an end to him.
But, Your Majesty, you are...
What did you say, Lackey?
I suggested, Your Majesty, that you let me call the court physician.
Why would you want to call him? Is someone ill?
Well, you are, sire. You were... Well, you suggested putting an end to Samuel.
Samuel, the prophet?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Why did I want to do that?
Well, you were angry because Samuel predicted that you would lose the throne and another would take your place.
I don't remember that. I must have been under the spell of something. An evil spirit, perhaps.
Exactly what I think, Your Majesty. I pray you, Your Majesty, to let me seek out a cunning player of the harp, and it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit is come upon you, that the man shall play soothing music upon the harp, and you shall be well.
Yes, yes, provide me now a man who can play well, and bring him to me.
Your Majesty, I know such a man. He is the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. He's skillful in playing the harp, as well as a brave and valiant man. A man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him.
Send for him immediately.
I shall go myself, Your Majesty.
Very well, but bring him here as soon as possible.
Yes, Your Majesty.
You sent for me, Father?
Yes, David, my son. King Saul sent word that he wants you to come to the palace and play for him.
Play my harp?
The king has seasons of melancholy. His counselors think that your playing will soothe him, and perhaps even cure him. I have a donkey already laden with gifts for the king. You must get ready now and prepare to stand before the king and serve him.
Yes, Father. Samuel said the Lord would inform me in the ways of a king. Soon, soon I will stand before the king and live in the royal palace. In this manner, I will be able to learn the ways of the king and his court. All things are possible with God. Get up there! Get up!